This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast. My name is Adam Ritz. We're talking public affairs. Jay Baker joins me as always. Jay, how are you?
I am doing great. Looking forward to another award-winning show.
It's been a few weeks since we did what we call the Scam Alert. So we'd like to welcome you back to the Scam Alert portion of the show. We like to highlight these scams. They pop up left and right. I mean, especially thanks to the prevalence of digital media and the internet. These criminals, cyber criminals, scam artists, they have so many ways to try to fool you into getting your money. Now, here's a new one. I hadn't heard of this one, Jay, until recently. It's called the Hitman Scam. Have you heard of the Hitman Scam?
No, I know there's some new ones that crop up all the time. So this one's new, I'm going to guess.
This is a newer one. It's sort of in this political climate with political violence at the top of the conversation list. These are criminals taking advantage of that sort of news topic that is that seems to drive headlines in the news media today. This hitman scam will reach out to you and just plainly tell you that someone is planning to kill you. And
oh, wow.
And they're doing it. It's not coming as a warning, like a threat. It's coming as an organization that's trying to help you keep you safe. So it's like they learned of this information that there are very dangerous people that are planning to kill you. Long story short, if you send us money, we will dive deep and find out who these people are and make sure they, you know, get the consequences,
right,
and prosecuted and go to jail and keep you safe. So it is the hitman scam. This actually happened in my community. I heard about this story through our news media. A local television journalist, the anchor person, got this message, and it said, hello, name, there is someone planning to kill you. And these are dangerous people. And the news reporter replied, what are their names? And had a dialogue with this person. She, screenshotted everything. And they actually did a news report on this to warn everybody else to watch out for what they call the hitman scam. So especially the elderly seem to be more prone, especially to digital technology-based scams. If you get a message that says, there's a hitman planning to kill you and you need to send me money to keep you safe, that is the newest scam, Jay.
Yeah, it is amazing. And like you said, they either tap into fear or tap into knowing that they're addressing an audience that is prone to respond to certain things. You know, one of the original scams, we always talked about this, was, and I don't mean to laugh, but your social security number will be canceled if you don't get a hold of this. And you and I laughed, even though I know a lot of people responded to it and it's horrible. But you and I laughed because, no, they want you to have a social security number. That's how they tax you. They want to keep that operation going.
That's how they get you.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, like you said, your license will be canceled. Your credit card will be canceled. I got one very convincing the other day. It was one of the channel providers. You know, your service will be discontinued if you. And all of a sudden, I realized, I'm reading it and I'm like going, wow, that sounds pretty real. That could be. And then I went, wait a minute, this particular service requires that all that you basically have is an internet connection. And I thought, wait a minute. But, you know, they're written in such a convincing fashion. your immediate thought is, oh my goodness, I've got to do something now.
Yeah. And you said it, it's based on fear. So fear of losing your Hulu, fear of losing your Netflix, fear of being prosecuted, fear of getting fined, fear of losing your credit card or your social security number, or fear of losing your life. These digital scams are based on fear. And when you get a message, the red flags, usually they say if there's a lot of misspellings and bad grammar, that's your first red flag that this thing ain't real.
Yeah, absolutely. The other scam, if it comes in email form, let's just pick a fictitious company, Ajax Enterprises. They send you something, you know, this, that, and the other is going to happen. Please respond to gobbledygook.com/Ajax. Well, no company in the world would have that type of return email address. So right. Hopefully, you know, some of these scams are ludicrous enough that people won't be falling for them.
Yeah, it's got, people are catching on. This has to be, the cyber scam industry has to be falling off. However, all we keep hearing
has to be falling off.
It's $1 billion industry. I mean, it's a numbers
game. The amount of money, amount of money is.
They send out 10,000 texts. All they need is one or two people to fall for it, and they've made their salary.
Yeah, you're not kidding. In fact, I was speaking to somebody that works in a department where they sell a lot of gift cards. And they still have said that they've encountered people that they know are victims of scams. They're in there buying multiples of Amazon gift cards and things of that nature. And they do what they can. They don't want people to, you know, quote, lose something. But they're also, they try to reassure them that no credible company would want you to send them five $50 Amazon cards.
Right. Yep.
That's, you know, so they're doing their best to try to help people. Oh, my goodness. The life of criminals.
And we're doing our best to also try to help people with this public affairs radio show.
What we try to do is make it ultra realistic, because for 30 seconds we fall for it and then we go, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah. Have a hey, wait a minute approach when you get a message from somebody you don't know.
Absolutely. Neil Young and the Chrome Hearts are going to headline the Harvest Moon Benefit Concert in California on October 25th. The event will also feature Beck, Lana Del Rey, and a whole bunch of others. They aim to raise funds for the Painted Turtle and the Bridge School. Now, the Bridge School is a pretty famous school in California, and I believe, I don't have my other notes in front of me, they address autistic children. This used to be almost an exclusive Crosby, Stills, and Nash benefit, but unfortunately, that band is, you know, a member has passed away, and they are not in great contact with each other. So mm-hmm. Neil Young has sort of taken over on this. The concert takes place at the Painted Turtle Camp in Lake Hughes, California. Tickets are available on the event's website. Last year, it was Neil Young performing at the Harvest Moon concert. He was with Stephen Stills. Though I have heard lately that Stephen has been addressing some hearing issues, so he won't be able to participate.
You know, 40, 50 years on a stage with loud music can kind of do that to your hearing. So,
oh, my goodness. I don't know how rock stars, you know, are able to handle all the rigors that they deal with.
I think that's a great cause, helping out the autistic children through the Bridge School and the Painted Turtle Foundation. What a great event to go to. And like we've always talked about, combine your entertainment dollar with your charitable donations. You can get a great night of entertainment out of it, and go see Neil Young.
Absolutely. Here's sort of a startling survey. Shouldn't become as a big surprise, but it's kind of a cautionary tale. You never know when you might have to pay for a major car repair or replace a broken appliance. But new research suggests that a lot of people in the U.S. wouldn't be able to handle basically an emergency coming up. They kind of set the threshold at about $400 as sort of like, can you afford, if something popped up this afternoon, can you afford $400?
If I had a $400 problem today, the first thing I would do is call my friend Jay Baker and ask to borrow $400.
Well, that is a strategy. I will give you that. But apparently about 32% of Americans don't have emergency savings set aside. That's an increase. They did the same survey last year. It was 21%. So we're sort of trending in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were facing an emergency, like what we just talked about, most people said they'd rely on a credit card, they would sell something, borrow money from a friend or relative, or take out some kind of loan. Now, some of the loans that you would take out can be problematic as well. You know, we've done stories before about how some of the payday loans and some of these loan services on the internet and on radio commercials are a little too good to be true.
Yeah, and a lot of the credit card, I guess, banks that a lot of service providers partner with have incredibly high interest rates. So if you all of a sudden need a new furnace or an HVAC, the HVAC company you use will absolutely have a banking partner that will get you set up with a line of credit to get it fixed. But make sure you check that interest rate.
Yeah, be extra careful. Now, we're not saying you don't need the heater or they're not helping you, but you got to be careful about that. Half of Americans admit they're stressed out over their current level of emergency savings. Here's kind of an interesting look at this. The medium emergency savings balance for most Americans is right about $500. Now, Gen X has that much, but Gen Z only has about $400.
That's I thought it'd be a lot less if Gen X, with all their wisdom, I should say with all our wisdom, I'm a proud Gen Xer. If we have 500, I would assume Gen Z would have negative 500.
Yeah. Now, boomers are sort of doing the best, mostly because boomers were raised by people who told them how bad the stock market crash of 1929 was. So most boomers have an average of about $2,000 squirreled away for emergencies.
You know, they save a lot of money on that thermostat when they keep it at 87 in the summer.
Well, see, what happens is my generation invented the sweater vest, so we can easily turn the thermostat down to 64 and really reap those winter savings.
Sweater vest.
It's sweater vest. When you talk about great inventions, Adam, we're not talking about the steam locomotive. We're talking about the sweater vest.
I need to update my sweater vest game. I admit I don't have many. I think I had two at one point, but they may have made their way to Goodwill.
Yes. Now, you are a proud Gen Xer, as you have said before. The generation immediately behind you is known as Gen Z. Now, they are getting a little bit more creative in order to become homeowners. The median age of home buyers is 56 years old.
That is,
and that's because of the current market.
That's, I've heard that statistic. That's really amazing and sort of outrageous. If that's the age for a first-time home buyer, because we've talked about, in 1965, the age of the first-time home buyer was probably 22.
Yeah, I mean, it really is interesting. And I think, you know, what has crept into this whole discussion, it's the reason why younger Americans have delayed things like getting married, or if married, starting a family. And even something like home buying gets pushed off. Yeah, it's sort of the delayed reaction generation, and it's been brought about because the economics of everything has altered over the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so anyway, this article is talking about that a number of Americans now, younger Americans, are doing a phenomena called co-buying a home.
Okay.
Nearly, 15% of Americans have purchased a home with someone who is not a romantic partner, and that 70% of those in Gen Z would be willing to do so.
So it's, you know, it's a co-investment. You get together with somebody that's not a romantic partner, and you're like, hey, you want to save on rent? We should buy a house together. Is that the deal?
Yeah. Well, we tend to think that, you know, the offshoot of buying a house would then be living in said house. So you're thinking about doing this with your friend, as opposed to, hey, honey, we're buying the home of our dreams. The upside is you can split the bills in equity, but the downside is a situation that if the friendship breaks apart, it's a real mess. Because as you probably know, I don't recommend entering into any agreement without sort of some security with a contract.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of any former friend I've ever had. I still think that even at our worst, it's just simple math. I mean, if you want to go your own separate ways, you split up the equity, and if somebody bought $4,000 worth of kitchen appliances to put in the house, they get $4,000 more of the equity when you split. I mean, it's pretty easy math, even for people that hate each other.
Yeah, but if you get to the hate each other part, you know, then there's that dispute. Really, was it $4,000 worth, or was it $3,200 worth, or, you know, you took the east side of the house, I took the west side of the house. I mean, it could devolve into a pretty big discussion.
All right. Well,
remember, we're here in America, Adam, where deciding on what to eat for lunch is difficult. So owning a home could be a problem.
You have swayed me. You've sold me on this. And now I am not going to purchase a home with you.
Oh, darn it. I was hoping that we could co-parent a home. Oh, wait, that's not the deal. Can you imagine? Old Navy debuts AI-powered dressing rooms. I mean, we keep hearing that AI is going to be, you know, the big future for all of us. Well, Old Navy giving the fitting room a high-tech makeover. Shoppers can hang items on smart racks that instantly display the prices, allow them to request new sizes, and even make suggestions about matching pieces for to set up your outfit, as they like to say, as the kids call it.
I thought Old Navy was, their claim to fame was, you know, pretty affordable pricing on their clothes. Doesn't it seem like if they implement an AI tech to their dressing rooms that it would make all their clothes go up in prices?
You would think that it was. Now, next thing they'll do is they'll put a robot in there that goes, "You look great in that shirt."
Yeah, and then they'll sell the shirt for sure. Yeah, it'll increase the sales.
That shirt looks great on you. Yeah, so you go in there, you hang your clothes on the smart rack. You got a touch screen. The system sends real-time updates when an associate is fetching your requests and keeps track of your total, so there's no surprises at checkout. It's basically a virtual stylist meets shopping assistant turning what has become a frustrating dressing room experience into something that's a lot more fun. That kind of sounds like that might have come from the Old Navy press release.
That does sound like it's from their perspective. Not to poo-poo this, but I think a lot of people, when they hear AI in the dressing room, that doesn't really sound attractive to me.
Yes. It also sounds like something candidly is going to end up on Instagram.
Yeah. AI in the dressing room, camcorder in the dressing room is what I hear.
Yeah, that might not be a good idea. Well, you're probably not imagining it. I know that everything that involves discussion of pricing tends to go back to political things, but American consumers do say and have been confirming that the cost of groceries is a major source of stress. That sentiment comes with data from the Consumer Price Index, grocery prices rising 0.6% from July to August, marking the steepest one-month gain in roughly 3 years. I was kind of hoping that the grocery prices would stabilize, but this has been a part of our economy that's been a little, Wild West lately, you know?
I agree. You would have thought there'd be some help or relief, but this does not sound good.
Yeah, they're up about 30% from before the pandemic. And while some people have been concerned about Washington's trade policies, that hasn't pushed up consumer prices as much as economists feared. Some items, including coffee, beef, and fresh produce, are just basically more expensive. And part of it is transportation costs, et cetera. And drought and extreme weather are also major causes of the current prices. It's funny. We do live in a country where we go, I want a really good salad. Okay, well, where might you find a head of lettuce in February?
Exactly.
How did it arrive in the store, all sitting there, all pretty, looking for you to purchase?
That is a great point. It sounds like a perfect storm of attributes that have fed into this the pricing situation.
Absolutely. Now, when you were growing up, Adam, did your parents tell you it doesn't matter what you do in life? You just want to be really good at it. You know, my parents would always say, you know, even if you want to open a thrift store, you got to be a good thrift store owner. I don't know if they told you that.
Yes, they did. And it's part of one of the best cliches that you'll ever hear is if you do something you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
See, I love hearing that. We're going to finish up today's show with the discussion of how not to be a criminal. We've always said on the Adam Rich Show that if you would select helping humanity, contributing to society, or being a drain on society, you should select the former rather than the latter. But this story was so good, Adam, I felt like we had to share.
Okay.
This is a guy that had to resign after getting caught selling the school district's lawnmowers on Facebook. Now, see, you're laughing.
You can get anything on Facebook Marketplace, and this proves it.
You're going to love the backstory.
Okay.
Stephen Keenan, a public school administrator, he happens to be from Akron, Ohio. He resigned after being caught in a scheme involving the district's lawnmowers. Now, Keenan traded in 11 Akron Public Schools lawnmowers to a vendor without board approval, basically to purchase new equipment for the district. However, he then used the friends and family discount with the same vendor to personally buy back 7 of the traded in mowers for a little bit over $5,000.
He is now teaching the economics class at the high school.
Absolutely. This is the kind of thing that, you know, this is all going to work out great. Now, it said that the scheme took a turn when Keenan listed 5 of these 7 mowers for sale on Facebook Marketplace. And he asked for a total of $14,000, which would have then netted him a significant profit on the equipment that originally belonged to the school district in the first place.
That is a very resourceful guy and a very criminal act.
It is. The school board discovered the unauthorized transactions and was prepared to fire Keenan for violating the staff code of ethics. You see, there's a code of ethics, kids, and stealing the mower and selling it on Facebook Marketplace is considered a breach of those ethics.
That's, you know, you probably want to watch out when you're the purchaser. If you see a deal on Facebook Marketplace that's too good to be true from this type of person, a school, public school employee that's selling school property, I don't know if you would actually know that the lawnmower belonged to the school, but there's some little red flags I bet you could see that could keep you from purchasing stolen stolen material. I don't know the complete legalities on this, Jay, on how much of the responsibility if you buy stolen goods, if you can get in trouble for that.
Well, you know, you and I know that if you purchase a lawnmower, let's say from a website, when it says prominently on the mower that it belongs to the Akron School District, you might say to yourself, hey, wait a minute.
But, you know, if the Akron High School, if Akron West has an incredible front lawn, then you know, you're getting a pretty good deal because that's a great lawnmower.
I think the guy could have saved his job if he had just taken some of the profits, bought goats, put them out in front of the high school, claim it was a senior prank, then the lawn still would have gotten eaten. Everything would have been perfect.
You think of everything, Jay. That would have worked perfect.
It would have worked absolutely perfect. Well, coming up on the Adam Rich Show, Adam will touch on some of our Halloween safety, some more winter tips as you get ready for the upcoming winter season. It's hard to believe that things are chilling and getting ready. I know that this is like one of your favorite times of the year.
This really is. It starts the holiday season. Fall, I do love, you know, I'm a summer guy. I love the beach and the hot weather. That is my number one season. Fall is a close second. I do love football season. I love being outdoors, going on a long walk in with the leaves rustling under your feet, having a nice hot coffee outdoors on a cool fall evening. I mean, this is a great, next to a bonfire, are you kidding me? This is a great time of year. And like you said, coming up, we'll be doing that. One of my favorite shows that we do of the year is the Halloween safety show, where we cover trick or treating and pedestrian safety and costume safety, both with the physical nature of the costume and how to keep your kids safe, and also, you know, political correctness. What you may think is a safe costume may offend somebody else. So better to be safe than sorry. And we'll cover all that in an upcoming episode. So happy fall to you, Jay Baker. Don't go stealing any lawnmowers. And if you purchase a lawnmower that says your town's public school system on the side of the lawnmower, you may be implicated in that scam.
I think this year, though, my costume choice, and I believe it's politically correct, will be lawnmower salesperson.
From Akron? From the Akron public school system?
I'll be wearing the sweater vest with the Akron public school name tag. Hello, my name is Lawnmower for Sale.
It comes right back to the sweater vest, doesn't it?
Absolutely. All right, and Jay, as we say, kids, don't try this at home.
Don't try this at home. All right, Jay Baker, appreciate all your help today. Our listeners, thank you for joining us. You can join us online. Our website is adamritzshow.com. There you'll find not only this episode, but you'll be able to listen to our past episodes and some of the topics we covered. They're listed in the title of each episode with a little rundown, a bio of each episode, in case you want to see what the topics are and what we talk about, and if you want to share them with your friends and family. So we thank you for joining us for this Public Affairs Radio show, The Adam Ritz Show.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.